Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Michelle and Carol. That was good. Thank you so much. Jason watches our services, many of our services, all the way from Arizona. So that's really awesome to know. Thank you, Jason. And before he leaves tonight and flies back to Arizona, it'd be great if some of you just come up and pray over him. You may have a word to give him, a prophetic word. I don't know, however the Lord leads, but let's just love on him. And he's kind of a shy guy, so, but he'll be all right. He's a man of few words, but he loves the Lord. In fact, he got saved here, so as a result of Becky ministering to him, and then she brought him to church here, and he got saved here. He wants to get baptized here, but I said we'll have to be ready to plan that at another time, maybe, and if that works out, that'd be great. But so he's a product of your ministry, Grace Tabernacle. So be sure to love on him and encourage him. We're talking about math. Math was never my favorite subject in school. How many of you really loved math? Raise your hand. I hate you people. No, I don't hate you. It just never was my forte. But God likes math. You know, one of the books of the Bible is called Numbers. That's true. And so God really likes math, and his math is different. It's a new math for us to learn. We started last week kind of talking about the year 2023, the number 23, and when you, I got a lot of information from a friend of mine who wrote a book about numbers. He did a lot of research, and so I got a lot of information from his book, and then I add my own stuff to that, but I want to give credit to where credit's due. Troy Brewer, who's been here to preach a few years ago, he wrote a book. They'll show a picture of that if you have it. There you go, called Numbers That Preach. So I want to give credit to him. He lives out in Texas, in fact. He's a big church in Texas. But I want to talk to you tonight about God's math and look at the number one. Everybody say one. Bless you. One is God's number. One is God's number. I want to review a little bit from last week. Like I said, we started with looking at the year 2023 and declaring through a process of a lot of things, listening and discerning from different prophetic words and then also from the scriptures, how 2023 is to be a year of completion. God's going to wrap some things up for all of us in some areas of our life, that he wants to bring a year of completion. There's some things that just need to come full circle and need to be done. And 2023 is a year of completion. Looking at the numbers 2023, and you add them up, number 7, 7's the number of completion or the number of perfection. And we looked at, by way of review, I don't have time to go into it, but the number 23 actually showed you in Scripture how many times God uses that number 23 to show the death of some things in order to bring about us into the presence of God. There has to be some closure, some completion to start something new that God wants to do. And so that's what the number 23 talked about. If you want more information about that, you'll have to go back online. We have all this on podcast and on our website. You can get those. That's free. It's interesting. This Monday morning, an intercession was really, really special time. And I encourage you to come out on Monday morning, if you can, at 9:30 to intercession prayer. It's different every single week. It's one thing I really love about that. And we have some amazing intercessors in this church, people that are really deep with God. And this week, they came a little late, and they were already in here in the sanctuary. As soon as I walked in those doors and walked in, I could feel, tangibly feel the presence of God. It was a holy, rare moment that was going on. And we had communion, and just most people were just enjoying the presence of God. And then at the end, near the end, Pamela Unruh, is Pamela here? Did I say your name right? I've only known you for 100 years. Huh? Yeah, I've known you for 17 years. You think I'd know your name by now, right? It's Unruh, right? I got it right? Wow. All right. Thank you, God. So anyway, Pamela had a prophetic word, and I wrote down a portion of it. And here's what it says. You'll see it on the screen. It says, "Learn to enter my rest." The Lord is speaking through a prophetic word. "Let God do it." Oneness. "And as you learn to rest in me, you learn to let go of your thoughts and have mine. Let me complete my work in you. This is a year of completion." That was only a portion of what you said. I thought that was very significant. It was a confirmation of hearing from the Lord what God is saying and doing. And then after that, Alice Beecraft, right here, one of our elders, she said these words that I thought were very significant. She said, "If we love God with all of our heart, there's nothing else we need to do, because he does it all." You got to chew on this stuff for a while. You got to really think about that. And then last week I reminded you of a scripture in Proverbs chapter, I'm not sure if that's the right address, so don't worry about that right now, but it says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings is to search a matter out." God likes to hide things in order for us to find them, through the Holy Spirit helping us and revealing things to us. And he loves to see when our eyes just pop open. And, oh, we get it. We got a revelation. We understand it. And many times these wonderful revelations that God wants us to have are hidden in the numbers that he uses in certain places in the Bible. And it's very interesting to discover this. So when you begin to understand God's math is different from our math, okay? You begin to understand the significance when God mentions numbers. It's a specific reason. There's something we're to glean out of this. For example, God's math, the number one has to do with priority, first. But it also has to do with unity, oneness. He wants us to be in oneness with him. So number one, always when God uses number one, he's speaking about priority. And I'll explain that to you. And unity, or oneness together. So we know, but we have to be told, God is to be number one in your life. First place. Okay? In the Old Testament, God was always teaching us teaching Israel, his people, how to make God number one and keep God number one. And he did it through a variety of ways. In Exodus 34:19, he said, "The firstborn male of your livestock is to be given to the Lord." He was teaching them, God is to be first in your life. No matter how you're blessed, God's to be first. So the firstborn male of every bit of your livestock belongs to God. It's holy. You are to give it as a sacrifice to God. The first fruits, the year of the feast of harvest, called first fruits, it was commanded for the Israel to make sure that they bring the first fruits of their harvest to God. It was a sacrifice of God. It was a way of him teaching them, keep God first in your life. Don't let anybody or anything take first place in your life. Everything is a first, belongs to God. The tithe, we're in the new covenant. But tithing did not go away through the cross. Tithing is still a kingdom principle of God. And God does that to teach us to keep him first. Otherwise, money and things can consume your life. And so he teaches us that the tithe, the first 10% of your income, belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And so when we come in each week or whenever you give your tithe to the Lord, that is you saying, God, you're first in my life. You're first above money. So now on the new covenant today, we worship on the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. So everything has to do with first is showing us that we're putting God first in our life. What is the greatest commandment? Somebody tell me. Boy, I'm glad you know that one because I preached on it for about 4 months. That's right. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And your neighbor is yourself. And if you do this, you're keeping the law and the prophets, basically the whole word. If you keep this. So this is the greatest commandment, is to love God more than you love anybody or anything else in your life. That's the greatest commandment. What's the Great Commission? Great Commission. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach all nations. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Matthew 28:19-20. If you do the Great Commission before you do the Great Commandment, you'll become a headhunter. A legalistic headhunter. Everything we do that God commands to do has to be fueled and motivated by, first of all, from loving Him. Otherwise, it comes out perverted. Even worship has to be, we're loving God. This is why we do this. So our motivation has to be always, this is a way we love God. This is a way we express love to God. So when you love God first, what's happening is you're becoming one with Him. One with Him. That's oneness. He's number one in your life. You're becoming one with Him. That's the place He wants to take. He doesn't want second place. He doesn't want third place. He only wants first place. And He deserves it. And that's why He commands us to love Him first and put Him first. And so when you become one with God, then everything He is, you now own. Let me give you for example. When you become one with Him and He's first place in your life, He's number one. No one takes His place. No one goes above Him. When you become one with Him, then everything He is now yours. For example, His righteousness becomes your righteousness. Okay. His holiness becomes your holiness. His healing becomes your healing. His provision is your provision. His victory is your victory. He is good and He makes you look good. Have you noticed that? He makes you look good. He makes you look real smart. You got to make sure you don't take credit for things that you know is really the goodness of God and the grace of God to you. So God wants us to have oneness with Him. Oneness with Him. God wants oneness with Him, oneness in your marriage. If you're married, He wants you to have oneness with Him. And He wants you to have oneness in the church, that we're together, that He's the priority. He's the only one that really matters. He's the only one we're really trying to please. He's the one that we love more than anybody or anything. He's number one. No doubt you've seen this phrase. In fact, I saw it. There it is. Coming in. You see this phrase? You see it on some things in your home. You may have it at your home and stuff. It's common, you know. Live, laugh, and love. Let me ask you, what's wrong with that? Bingo. Boy, you guys are sharp. If love's not first, the others won't work out. It'd be perverted form. Love is first, has to be first. Loving God has to be first in your life, or it's just not, things will not work out in your life. You know, now say, let's say in your marriage, even in your marriage, God has to be your first love. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 through 25, the Lord God had taken a rib from man, and he made a spare rib. Sorry. And Adam said, "This is a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She's called woe, man, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's the goal of marriage. Oneness. 4,000 years later, Jesus quoted this exact scripture, but he added to it. And here's what he said: "And the two shall become one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more two, but one. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." They're not two. They're one. God's number one priority for you and for me is, number one, become one with Him. You missed a good point to say amen right there. One with Him, that's God's priority for your life. You become one with Him. And you see this in the first commandment. Somebody tell me the first commandment. I hear you mumbling. "No other gods before me." Want to be one, that's right. "No other gods before me." So here's how God does math. Watch closely. You're going to miss it. 1 + 1 = 1. And we say, "No, God, you're wrong. 1 + 1 = 2. And God says, "No, you're wrong. 1 + 1 = 1. He wants oneness between you and Him. Oneness if you're married, oneness in your family, and oneness in your church. You're one. You're not many, you're one. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1. First in all of our relationships, in the beginning, it must be God. Now, how many of you here believe that I love my wife with all my heart? Raise your hand. Thank you. All right. I do. I love my wife with all my heart. But God expects me to love Him more than my wife. So I love God more than I love Pam. God has to be first. But the love I have for my wife has to be unique, because in Ephesians 5 it says, God commands the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. That's how he expects me to love my wife. So in our relationships here on earth, which we have many, God has got to be number one, or things will never work out for you. Secondly, if you're married, husbands, you're to love your wife next more than you love your kids, more than your grandkids, and that includes if you have a blended family. And I know that gets complicated. You know, you were divorced and you remarried or whatever, and now you got her kids and your kids and grandkids and all. It's kind of a mixture. But your responsibility as a husband is first, love God first, put Him first. Secondly, love your wife before you even love your own kids. And I've seen many marriages break up that were blended marriages because, you know, they had divorce prior or whatever. But when they come together, and next thing you know, the kids weasel in and get in between the husband and the wife. And the husband's not to allow that to happen. You've made a covenant with your wife. You're to love your wife more than you love your own biological kids. You may not like to hear that, but that's the truth. And there's a lot of dysfunction, even in the church, because some people don't do that. You're going to have a lot of trouble if you don't do things God's way. God has a way of doing things, and it's different from our ways. Jesus says in Matthew or Revelation 22:13, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. That's the Greek letters for the beginning and the end. I'm the A, the Z, so to speak. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. So if you want God in your life, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to make Him first. Before anything. Before anybody. You're going to have to find out what is His will about matters. If you're thinking about getting married, well, what does God say about marriage? Because if you're going to love Him and follow Him first, you got to find out what His will is about all these matters. If He's number one. And your life is blessed when He's number one. When you're in oneness with God, your life is greatly blessed. You're going to have to put Him first. Somebody needs to tell you. You can't just add Him to your life. No, you add things. Well, we golf, we fish, we do. No, He's number one. Or I'd say you don't have God. He will not take a back seat. The first recorded words of Jesus when He was 12 years old. Remember when His parents, they went to Jerusalem for a feast and Jesus 12 years old. And they probably went with a caravan of family and people, a big thing. And then they left Jerusalem and are going back home. And I think it was a day later before they realized, where's our son? He's not here. Where's he at? And he ran through the caravan. Did you see him? You see, was he with you? We thought he was with Uncle Joe. We thought, no. Where's he at? And then you imagine having to talk to God. Hey, God, you know that Messiah you gave us? Do you have another one? No? We better go find him. But the first recorded words of Jesus when they found him, said, Son, where you been? We've been looking all over for. We're going crazy looking for you. And Jesus said these words. Didn't you know? Come on. Yeah. He was putting the Father first. Let me ask you, is that your assignment as well? I'm determining in my heart, it's my assignment. I'm here to please God, not to please everybody. I'm not here to win a popularity contest or anything. I'm here to do what I believe God wants me to do, and that's His business. And sometimes His business is not necessarily the church business. Sometimes His business is a lot of other things. It could be taking out the garbage for a friend or a neighbor. Simple things. You'd be surprised. We're in Karis Bible class last week, and that's tomorrow at 10 o'clock here. Boy, I would invite you to come to that. It's one of the great things we have going on in this church besides the wonderful small groups that have started. But Karis Bible class is open to anybody. It's Bible curriculum, Bible college curriculum, and you're invited. It's open. It's free for everybody to come. Richard Herrine, who leads that, facilitates that class, he said something last Thursday. I wrote it down. He said the devil wants us preoccupied with problems, so we don't focus on the Father's business. He distracts you to get you off focus of what God really wants. I thought, that is so true. There's not a week or a day that goes by in my life that I'm starting to do what I believe I know God wants me to do, that the enemy doesn't send some kind of distraction to get me focused over here. And he does the same to you. We're here on earth for a short amount of time. We have assignments. There are things that God really wants us to focus on. So how do we really focus and stay focused on our God assignment? Number one, our relationship with God has to be number one. There's no way around that. You start off your day with God. You end your day with God. You start off your morning with God. Before you go do anything, God's first. And God will honor that in your life if you will set aside a time and a place every morning before you rush off to work. Even if it means you got to get up earlier. You say, I am going to have 15 minutes, 20 minutes with God and start reading the New Testament through and talking to God about it. God will honor that. How many would testify, boy, I know that's true. Amen. Then if God is number one with him, you'll be in unity with him. Oneness and unity. Let me talk about that for a little bit, but For example, the number one in the Bible is found 1,898 times. And every time it's mentioned in these 1,898 times, it has to do with unity. So that's very significant. One, the number one. Here's something I found was very interesting. I did not know this. The name David. Anybody here named David? No? Okay. The name David is a very common name, but it only belongs to one man in the Bible. And that's an oddity when you think about how many Marys do you read about in the Bible? How many Jeremiahs? I think there's about five Marys in the Bible. There's about seven Jeremiahs in the Bible. And David's a very common name, and yet there's only one man in the Bible named David. Is that significant? I think it is, because David was called a man after what? God said that about him. King Saul was the king of Israel. And King Saul didn't wait upon the Lord as God had instructed him. And David said, said to Nathan the prophet, I'm taking the kingdom away from Saul and I'm giving it to a man who has my heart. And it was a young shepherd boy out in the field that was obscure. Nobody knew who he was. And he's called a man after God's own heart. What makes a man after God's own heart? David, I think, was this, several things. One, he worshiped God when nobody was watching. He was a worshiper. He worshiped God and sang to God and talked to God and had a relationship with God when nobody was around. He didn't do it to be seen. He just had a relationship with God. God was number one. David trusted God. After a result of getting to know God, he trusted God. And the great example of that was when he went out to face Goliath. He was just a young boy. There were grown men, seasoned soldiers there that would not dare go out and face Goliath in front of the Philistine armies. But David was a young boy. He just spent his time with God, worshiping God, and he learned to trust God. And he went out there with courage and strength. He trusted God. And you see his heart's desire in like Psalm 23 that you all know. Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was his desire. I want God. I love God more than I love anybody. I want God to be number one in my life. That's what David would say if he were standing here today. In fact, it blessed me to hear Dennis the other night as we were driving somewhere, he and Peggy, and Dennis, you said it more than once, I believe. You said, I love God. It was a childlike, beautiful moment. Not childish, but childlike, beautiful thing. The way you said it, with no shame. I love God. And I love people, but I love God. Do you say that? You tell God that? God, I love you. I love you, God. And not afraid for anybody to know it. David was that kind of guy. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Now, here's a verse of scripture that I've been focusing on today. And I'm going to focus on the rest of this week. It's my go-to verse. I try to keep a verse of scripture, a fresh one each week, that I believe the Holy Spirit showed me, maybe in my reading or preparing for messages, whatever, that's to be my focal point. So it's my go-to moment. In the heat of temptation, I can go to this. I can think about it when I'm trying to go to sleep at night. I think about it first thing in the morning. Here's my go-to verse, and you can use this one yourself, but this is about making God number one. Here was David's heart revealed in Scripture. Look at this. In Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired from the Lord, and that will I seek after. This one thing. David was a one thing guy. This is it. This is my heart's desire. This is what I want more than anything else in the whole world, that I may they seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, in the presence of the Lord, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Because when you see the beauty of the Lord, it's just going to cause question after question after question. God, show me more. Show me more. Teach me. Lead me. This is his heart. That's what I pray. I'm praying, God, make this my heart. Make me a one thing guy. This is all I want. This is more than anything. This is what I want from you, God. Psalm 27, verse 4. So, do you see that he had oneness with God? He was a man after God's own heart, but he had oneness with God. There's no question who was number one in his life. Even though he sinned and messed up, his heart returned to the Lord. Do you see what his priority was? What was David's priority? My relationship with you, God. I will not let anything or anyone, no job, no demands, anything, get in the way of my relationship with you. God was number one. It showed. And if God, you make God number one, it'll show. People will notice that he's number one in your life. So, last thing. When you make God number one in your life, everything else will get in alignment. Eventually. Do you believe that? I base that on Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is right here. Where God is enthroned. Where God is number one. He is the king. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need in this life will be added to you. But you got to put God first. I tell you, it'll stop you from striving. So some of you may be striving to try to fix some things, work out some things, heal some things, help some things, and you can't do it. And it may be because you're trying to do it. And you need to let God be number one in your life. And then God will help you. But he's got to be first, not number two. All right. I want to be sure to have folks come up and pray with Jason and bless him before he leaves tomorrow, early tomorrow morning back to Arizona. So good to have you with us, Jason. God bless you. And why don't we stand together right now and pray. And I want you to just to close your eyes if you can and just ask God a question. There's no sense to preach if you don't have a point you're trying to make. And here's the point I'm trying to make. Let's pray. And let's ask God to show us right now any place in our life we're not in agreement with him. If there's any place in my life I am not in agreement with you, God, please show me that at least one area right now. So go ahead, I dare you to pray that. Ask him and then listen. God is very honest. So when you ask him something like that, he's very quick to point out something. Don't throw that away or just say, well, that was nothing. You take it, that thought, captive, and then you talk to God about it more later on, okay, tonight or tomorrow, and he will help you. So God is number one. One is God's number. What is the loneliest number that you ever see? Three Dog Night. Long time ago. Long before your time, I know. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being here tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you and bring you back Sunday. Amen.